Welcome to Sibylline Podcasts, part of our World Risk Register Threat Monitoring Service. These podcasts are released on a weekly basis, covering timely and relevant topics. In these discussions, we hope to shed light on evolving scenarios and provide actionable predictions and implications. We hope you enjoy listening and welcome any feedback. Hello and welcome to our latest Sibylline podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Italy, and to do that I'm joined by Matt Sachovsky. So Matt, thank you very much for covering this with us today. So in broad terms, what's been going on in Italy?
So, hi Pete. In Italy we have seen a very interesting general election taking place. The centre-right coalition has claimed a resounding victory, as has been projected, with 37% of the vote. And the Five Star Movement, getting 32% of the vote, is being right after them. This puts the incumbent Democratic Party into an effective kingmaker position, and we are continuing to see a lot of posturing and political rhetoric around this issue. As you know, both the Lega in the centre-right coalition and the Five Star Movement are presenting themselves as viable leaders. The Partito Democratico has ruled out any government participation, but obviously this could change, as we know Italy is prone to any political developments on a very short-term basis. The key here is that Matteo Salvini, the leader of the Lega, the largest party within the centre-right coalition, has ruled out sharing any ministerial positions, as has done Luigi Di Maio, the leader of the Five Star Movement. So now both leaders are posturing to attract a nomination by President Sergio Mattarella, which this nomination could come as early as on the 23rd of March in the Italian Parliament. And the issues that they're bound to be discussing include the kind of looser fiscal policies and Eurosceptic policies aimed at sort of improving the position of Italy within the EU.
Mm, okay, so you mentioned quite a few different players there. So we've got the Lega and the Salvini, who's led by Salvini, the Five Star Movement, with led by Di Maio. Perhaps you could just take us through very briefly who the main players are and what the main issues at play are during the this coalition building period.
Definitely. So the main player is, as I mentioned, Matteo Salvini, who leads the Lega, formerly the Northern League, a secessionist party in the past. The party has now switched from a kind of anti-South Italy rhetoric to an anti-immigration rhetoric. Salvini himself is a former communist. He used to run within the northern parts of the Communist Party. And now he has taken a very much right-wing approach, which underlines this kind of tension within Italy's populist parties, where these kind of switches and changes in political opinions are very common. Salvini, as I mentioned, ruled out any ministerial sharing in the negotiations, and he's especially been targeting the Democratic Party, which he sees as almost a very, very much sort of anti-Christ party, I might say. In his coalition, in the centre-right coalition, he is joined by Silvio Berlusconi with his Forza Italia, which has gained 14% of the vote, as opposed to Salvini's 17.7%. While all these parties support themselves in the centre-right coalition, there is some potential for politicking and splitting and various changes and trades in loyalties. Salvini, in terms of policies, as you know, he has vowed to expel Italy's 500,000 migrants, and he promised to renegotiate EU treaty law, potentially implementing an alternative currency. Again, very highly populist moves. His natural opponent in the ongoing negotiations is the Five Star Movement. It's more of a movement in the true sense of the word, in the sense they see themselves as being above the political spectrum. Their campaign consists of 20 various and sometimes conflicting policy points. For example, originally they campaigned on a universal income promise, which they later changed to a kind of expanded benefits program, and which is obviously a very left-wing policy in a way. On the other hand, they also campaigned on in a kind of anti-corruption platform, on tax cuts, anti-immigration policies, and public health spending. So there is a lot of mix in the party. As I mentioned, they are often almost incoherent. For example, in the European Parliament, they often vote alongside the mainstream parties. However, as opposed to the Lega, they appeared a bit more receptive to public grievances. For example, many of their 20 points come directly from debates with common Italian citizens. We also see a kind of degree of pragmatism within the Five Star Movement, in the sense that, for example, under the mayor of Rome, Virginia Raggi, the bid to host the Olympics has been ditched on the grounds that there isn't enough public spending for that. On the other hand, Rome has seen an infamous waste proposal crisis, waste collection crisis, sorry, under this mayor. So it's got very much its downsides as well. And this is what worries many people, in that the Five Star Movement isn't very organized and not very experienced.
Really interesting stuff. So on two main options there, with the coalition being fitted around the Liga, and a second option would be a coalition fitted around the Five Star Movement, both of which are fairly fractious and have a range of different individuals and policies within them. So interesting times. So looking forwards, I mean, it's difficult to make a prediction at this stage, but what are the most likely outcomes? You know, it's difficult to say, you know, who will win, but what are there only kind of two outcomes, with either the Liga get it or the Five Star will get it, and how do you think that will play out?
Yeah, so it's very much the case that either the Liga or the Five Star Movement will get to form the government. The question is who will get to do that first. Right now, it's very much in the hands of President Sergio Mattarella, whose deliberations on this issue could potentially take several weeks. But as I said earlier, it could also come as early as the 23rd of March, which is when the Italian Parliament reconvenes. Mattarella is under no legal obligation to nominate the victor of the elections, which would be Salvini. He can instead choose to select someone like Di Maio in case he presents a more viable alternative, and in case he presents a more stable government proposal. So there's very much a lot of tension between Di Maio and Salvini at the moment. The option for Salvini, who is in a somewhat stronger position than Di Maio because he has 5 percentage points more than Salvini than Di Maio, is that he proposed to form a kind of technocratic government, almost, in the sense that he expects other parties to support his government almost purely on the basis that the policies which he will be proposing will be in line with the policies of the supporting parties. This is fairly uncommon in Italy, and governments in there are notoriously unstable. However, he has been trying to exert some pressure on the Five Star Movement. For example, we have seen an interesting trend in southern parts of Italy where supporters of the Five Star Movement are increasingly turning out at tax collection points and public services or social welfare buildings, and they demand applications for universal income, which is obviously the promise which Five Star Movement campaigned on. Naturally, that's going to take several years to put in place if it's going to happen at all. But what Salvini is doing there is he's trying to use this sentiment to pressure the Five Star Movement into building coalition government with him, so that he can then use this influence to put forward his demands without compromising on his own program.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. So I guess we're looking at the 23rd of March as being a key decision point going forwards, potentially, depending on whether the president decides to take that opportunity to ask an individual to form a government or not. Are there any other key dates beyond that, or that's the main one that we're looking at the moment?
That is the main one that we're looking at right now. Also, because on the 23rd March, the next Eurozone summit will conclude, which is when many different decisions will take place. One of them would be a decision on Eurozone reform, which is something that both parties are very passionate about and very much lies at the heart of their electoral programs. The other issue is that the EU is currently beginning to negotiate its multi-year financial framework, which is the 7-year budgetary plan for the EU. And they will, both the Five Star Movement and Salvini will basically try to put forward their proposals. Both of them have targeted the 3% budget thresholds, which Italy is under EU rules allowed to cross, not allowed to cross, sorry. However, there again we see the differences between Lega and the Five Star Movement in the sense that Salvini, while he continues to put to use very aggressive rhetoric, he in the core he has promised to try to aim at 2.5 budget deficit per year, whereas Di Maio has made no such promise and he openly attempts to renegotiate this threshold. So that is one particular issue that we could see coming up in the negotiations. Another thing that I want to highlight is the role of Silvio Berlusconi, who is notoriously famous for switching sides and doing various things to come to power or achieve his other goals. Whilst he is formally part of the centre-right coalition, he is under no obligation to remain there. So we could potentially see, for example, a Berlusconi Five Star Movement negotiation, but that is very much further down the line. But that would definitely be an indicator of rising Five Star influence.
Yeah, so really interesting stuff. In terms of how these outcomes may come about or which one may happen, you mentioned earlier about the Democratic Party, the incumbent Democratic Party, as the kingmaker. So can you expand a bit on that?
Yes, definitely. So, as you know, the coalition needs to secure a majority in the parliament, obviously. And both major parties miss out on the total numbers which they need. So the Partito Democratico is a kingmaker in the sense that they might side with either party depending on what kind of offers they get from them. Now, the Matteo Salvini has ruled out any kind of coalition with the Partito Democratico, and the left-wing party, the Partito Democratico, very much are opposed to any kind of coalition with him. However, while they also ruled out forming a coalition with the Five Star Movement, this could change because within the PD, we see a lot of people who are potentially in favour of either a sort of pragmatic pact with the Five Star Movement in order to prevent Salvini from getting into government, or they really believe in the Five Star policies and see them as the kind of reformist party which could potentially reform and bring about a deeper reform in Italy. There is a faction within the PD led by Michele Emiliano, who is a fairly left-leaning politician. He's the current president of Padova. And he leads, for now, a fairly small faction, estimated about 10% of the whole party, which is in favour of a coalition with the Five Star Movement. So in the medium term, we could see further negotiations between the Five Star Movement and the Partito Democratico, but this will obviously depend on whether the president will award the Five Star Movement a mandate to build a coalition government.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. Thank you. Let's move on to the implications now and what this all means for us in the security sector bubble. So, first of all, it looks like quite a divisive atmosphere at the moment, with a bit of a split perhaps between the north and the south. So, have we seen any evidence of protests, demonstrations, violence even, and is that something that we can predict coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Very much so. So even ahead of the election, we saw the Macerata shooting where a former candidate for the Liga fired bullets at and injured about 6 migrants in the town of Macerata, about 50 kilometres north of Rome, sorry.
When was that?
That was on the 3rd of February.
Right.
And then just the day after the election, we saw another shooting of a Senegalese vendor in the streets of Florence, who died on the spot, and subsequent protests by migrants, which are more like riots than protests, really. There were marches of several dozens of people during the night throughout the town, causing minor but still fairly significant property damage. So we can definitely see further such incidents taking place. Italy is very much split between south and north, which kind of puts the centre as the kind of friction point of all these sentiments mixing up. Now, aside from the general election, we also had regional elections on the same date, which really highlight the way the country is split. Whilst the legislative elections showed a lot of support in the south of the country for the Five Star Movement. The regional elections saw a Liga candidate claim the regional presidency of Lombardy, where Milan is the capital, with a resounding victory with 49.7% of the votes, whereas Rome, with the regional elections in Lazio, saw a much more narrow and much more fragmented result, with the PD securing 33%, the Forza Italia 31%, and the Five Star Movement 27%. So it's very divided in the center of the country, and that's where we could really see protests kicking off.
So if we see a Liga victory, are we expecting to see significant protests in the south? And if we see a Five Star, if we see the president ask Di Maio of the Five Star Movement to form a government, are we conversely looking at significant demonstrations in the north?
Not necessarily, in the sense that, you know, the Liga has really gone quite a far away to sort of reinvent itself as a party for the whole of the country, and they really, you know, they share lots of policies with the Five Star Movement, which might make them more, you know, paint them in a more favorable light in the south of the country. What we might see instead, though, is, you know, the Liga has vowed to expel 500,000 migrants from the country, which is definitely going to lead to lots of grievances among these people. Further, in many cities, especially northern Italy, notably in Milan and Genoa, there's a fairly present left-wing scene, and we continuously see protests against neo-fascist or for other far-right parties occurring in these cities, but also throughout Italy, but especially in the north of the country. And that's definitely something we would see in case of a Liga government. In the long term, we could also see, you know, even the PD government, which was a fairly liberal one, really fairly successfully clamped down on migration from Libya. They cut the numbers nearly in half in 2017. And we could expect the Liga to be a lot more unscrupulous and harsh almost at that. So that's, again, something that could lead to potential diversification of migrant flows and other developments surrounding that.
Yeah, and you mentioned various shootings related to migrants and so on. If we were to see a more severe crackdown on migrants in the country, you know, from either side, whether it be the Five Star Movement or from a Liga government, do you think that that will translate into an increased threat of terrorism in the medium to long term?
To some extent, yes. However, when speaking about terrorism in Italy, we have to keep in mind that the sort of social roots are very much not present there, as opposed to, for example, France, where, you know, France sees a lot of kind of second generation migrants, as well as the UK. Whereas in Italy, this is not really the case. Further, you know, there's a very interesting dynamic, which is a result of the high presence of organized crime in the country, which is that in the south of the country, you see the organized crime groups themselves sort of pushing out the jihadi and terrorist influences, whereas in the north, you see the police forces, which develop fairly effective skills at combating the crime groups, instead using these skills to look at jihadists. So there's this kind of dual effect of organized crime, which is almost paradoxical, but it very much is effective.
I guess that explains why, despite Islamic State Group, for example, naming Italy as a target, and in fact changing the name of their propaganda magazine from Dabiq to Rumia, Rumia being the transliteration for Rome, and yet, you know, we haven't really seen the same kind of jihadist attacks in Italy as we've seen in other parts of Europe. So that's a really good insight. Thank you. You also mentioned political violence and the response to the election or to the upcoming outcome, I guess, from the far left and the far right. Can you expand a bit on that? You know, how do you think that would manifest depending on a Liga government being formed? And conversely, a Five Star Movement government being formed, and where and how do you think this might come about?
So the large cities, particularly North Italy, would be particularly vulnerable. However, we have to keep in mind that the Italian police forces in these areas are fairly capable, and the sort of more radical parts of the left wing and the right wing scenes are limited compared to other countries across the region. That being said, we have seen a fairly violent beating, for example, of a Casa Pound, which is a neo-fascist party in Sicily, with left-wing activists claiming that in this part of Italy we still have people who are willing to stand up to fascists, which is a fairly radical message considering where Sicily lies on the map. So any kind of political development really could galvanize these protests and lead to unrest and associated violence. However, this is not likely to be too pronounced, as again, Italy is right now very much in the kind of mood after the election where they are waiting and see what's going to happen and almost hoping for the best, really. So in the short term, this is unlikely to be too significant. However, as the time progresses and as we might potentially see a political deadlock, potentially if the first attempt at forming a government fails, then that's when we could see the further galvanizing of the unrest really coming into the fore and potentially impacting on operations and security in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other main aspect that we haven't really touched on too much is the economy. Something that Italy has been struggling with for a few years now, really since the Eurozone crisis. So how do you think the economy will develop over the coming years as kind of a longer term aspect? And how do you think that would be influenced by either a Lega government or a Five Star Movement government?
So the economy is very much a really salient issue in the election. Italy right now has still not recovered from the 2008 economic crisis and the subsequent crises which followed after that. And you really see this, especially in the south of the country, where living standards are almost equal to those that we have seen in the 90s, which that really explains a lot why the Five Star Movement is so popular there. In terms of going forward, any government will have to face a kind of trilemma in terms of handling the economy, which is that the Italian government debt is still fairly high, they have to keep the deficits fairly low, and they have to address a low labor productivity, which means more spending that's going to be necessary for education. There's also a lot of reform that needs to be done. Both private and the public sector are notoriously inefficient with corruption widespread. There's other issues, for example, Italy faces a kind of brain drain effect, both because skilled workers are leaving Italy for other parts of mostly Western Europe, but also because the Italian population as a whole is growing older, and we see this impacting on economic growth increasingly more so. A particular aspect linking to the economy is the attribution of all these problems to the Eurozone, which has been a particular aspect in the campaigns. Both the Lega and the Five Star Movement originally campaigned on a promise to hold a referendum on membership of the Eurozone. However, both parties have backtracked from this. There have been rumours that Di Maio has taken a more pragmatic approach. However, there's a lot of public sentiment going against the Euro, which could potentially sway both of these parties into a more aggressive form of resistance. And it will be up to the next several weeks and months to determine what kind of government will take place to really see where we are headed with this. Mm-hmm. However, it is undeniable that the current leadership of the European Central Bank, which has been instrumental in helping the Italian banking sector and the Italian government address these issues, the leadership of the European Central Bank is due for a change in 2019. Right now, we have Mario Draghi, who's the governor of the European Central Bank. But he could potentially be replaced by Jens Weidmann, who is, even by German terms, a very much a conservative economist. And that could potentially see investment flights and other economic crises and instability in Italy. Neither of the government, unfortunately, right now appears to have the kind of political clout combined with the technical expertise which would be needed to address all these crises. So it is, again, almost a ticking bomb, I want to say, for the next few months to see what kind of government Italy will end up with and what will happen in the long term after that.
Yeah, and I guess that what we're looking at, therefore, is ongoing economic difficulties. And to what extent, you mentioned that living standards are back to where they were in the 1990s, and to what extent is that driving local tactical issues in Italy, such as crime and organized crime, petty crime, and any other issues that you can think of. Is that a real sort of sore spot, or are they kind of managing to keep it under wraps?
It is very much a sore spot. However, we don't really see any particular changes as a result of the election. However, we do see developments surrounding, for example, the migration crisis, where you see organized crime penetrating, for example, refugee settlements or detention centers. And actually, for example, we had a case in Sicily where one particular detention center was penetrated by these groups, and where we have seen numbers being forged in order to secure further government subsidies for the detention center, which obviously is not very worrying development in the country, given the state of its public budgets and the scale of the migrant crisis in Italy. So this is very much a present issue. In terms of impacts on crime, this is less pronounced. Obviously, we do see the kind of common crime and occasional incidents of violent crime flaring up as a result of increasing trade with drugs and ever-present corruption. But this is not necessarily an impact. It's not necessarily going to be impacted by the election.
Brilliant. Matt, thank you so much for all of your insights there. That's really interesting stuff. If we've provoked any questions or comments there, please do not hesitate to get in touch. Otherwise, we'll be following up on these themes as usual in our daily updates, our alerts, our monthlies, and so on. Otherwise, that's it from us for now, and we look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you for listening, and we hope you have found this podcast useful. If you would like to learn more about our services, or if you have any questions or feedback, please get in touch at info@sibylline.co.uk.